sad and sickened. I'm ill for the Browns fans who spent their hard-earned money and ventured across America to go watch that.
That's the voice of John Fanta, our next guest, who is about to join us on the BetQL guest hotline. He's a college hoops insider for Fox Sports, and he's also a big-time Cleveland Browns fan. That's the Commanders' opponent this weekend at Northwest Stadium. John, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Good morning, guys. It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So it's been a tough slog to start for the Cleveland Browns. They're at 1-3. Their offense is just a mess. They can't even put like 20 points on the board with regularity. Deshaun Watson, there's been calls for his benching. A lot of people want Jameis Winston to take over. Give us the general mood there in Cleveland after this 1-3 start for the Browns.
Yeah, it's as bad of a mood that they've had since they came back in 1999. They had gone 0-16 in 2017, 1-15 the previous year in 2016, to basically get to this point where they thought that, you know, heading into last year, that they could be a legit AFC contender. And for a little while, they looked like that with Joe Flacco, with a guy who, you know, was rewriting the old man in the sea and having a sensational comeback to the NFL. But I think that's what makes this more maddening now, is that the Browns elected to not bring Flacco back. What is he comes into the Colts this past Sunday and throws a couple of touchdown passes and they coast, and it looks like they can be functional if they need him, because he just did that against the Steelers defense, which looked unstoppable through the first 3 weeks of the season. And so you've shelved out this $230 million deal to a guy who is, we've gone from talking about, is he back to his level, which is never going to happen. Deshaun Watson's never going to get back to the level that he was at. You guys, and we both know, in the NFL, once you look like you're past your hill, that's it. You know, you're not gonna be able to gain it back. We've gone in Cleveland from talking about, is he ever going to get back to his level, to, is he capable enough for the football team to not have to deal with the flaws and have a chance to beat anybody? That is the exact opposite of a team that thought heading into this year that they could be a real contender. And it's why I think the Browns will be a 5-12 football team. Oof. And it's why I think that they will lose this Sunday in Washington. I just think right now, you know, if we're all talking about it, players are humans. They know that they've got a quarterback who's well past his prime. Now, Deshaun Watson was not the reason for the loss in Las Vegas this past Sunday. He played one of his best games as a Brown. But guys, everything feels like it's like playing blocks with him. Like Kevin Stefanski has to kind of spoon feed the opening drive offense. And after the opening drive, the offense did not score a touchdown the remainder of the game against the Las Vegas Raiders.
John, does Kevin Stefanski have enough juice and clout to walk into Jimmy Haslam's office and say, "Look, I know you spent all this money on Deshaun Watson, but he's killing the team. We're going to have a better chance with Jameis Winston leading the charge on offense than Deshaun Watson." Does he have the power to do that, or is he kind of bowing down to the owner here? What's that power play looking like?
No, because if Kevin Stefanski had the power, the Cleveland Browns would be no worse than 2-2 right now, and Deshaun Watson wouldn't be their quarterback. So they to lose at home to the New York Giants, I mean, after you open the game with a touchdown in the first 11 seconds and you somehow manage to lose that game at home, that was because of your inability to move the football. And Kevin Stefanski, one of the reasons why they loved him when they hired him was, as much as Kevin's a really good coach, and I think he is, and I do think, by the way, if say, after this season, he decided he doesn't want to be the coach of the Cleveland Browns anymore, or if the Browns make what I think would be a dumb decision and fire a guy who's won two NFL Coach of the Year awards in Cleveland, that's unheard of, right?
Yeah.
I think that for me, that's that's a deal where if he became a free agent, NFL teams would line up at the deli and take a number to talk to him to try to hire him. I think he's a brilliant mind. And you'll see some of those concepts on Sunday. He's not the easiest coach to prepare for, and the schemes are not the easiest to prepare for. And that gives the Browns a chance. But, you know, they're going to need Jaden Daniels to blink, which he hasn't blinked yet. He's been absolutely extraordinary, and Washington should be on fire on Sunday for everything that's happening. But to answer your question, Kevin Stefanski does not have the power to march into Jimmy Haslam's office and tell him that. If he did tell him that, maybe Haslam gives in, but that could create a type of split then later in the season, whereas I think right now you're 1-3. And at the quarterback position for future years, you've got to find the next Jaden Daniels. And so that's why, in my humble opinion, as much as the Browns are, when you're 1-3, you're not making the playoffs, not in the AFC, and you're wasting Nick Chubb, who's about to come back, Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, Grant Delpit, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. You know, they're wasting the prime of some of these guys' careers. But by the same token, if you don't have a quarterback, you're best off trying to focus on what you're going to be able to do next April and find the next Jaden Daniels for your franchise. Those don't grow on trees. We both know that.
So, John, let me ask you about Deshaun Watson, particularly what you're seeing, okay? Because here's a guy who's 29. All right, he missed a couple of years. We all know the controversy. He's 29 years old. Has he lost the athleticism? What are you seeing?
Something has to be broken.
Has he lost his accuracy? When he was with the Texans, he was probably a top five quarterback in the league. What has happened? Does he miss guys that are open? What are you seeing?
Well, I did think that on Sunday, this past Sunday, at Vegas. See, I'm starting this answer off because everybody thinks that I just hate Deshaun Watson. And I don't hate Deshaun Watson, the quarterback. Don't hate anybody, the person, although this is why the vibe in Cleveland is so rough right now. He's pretty impossible to like based on what recent years have brought.
Sure.
And we don't need to go down that road. He's lost his feel, though. I thought this past Sunday he played better. But, guys, franchise quarterbacks in the NFL, if they have three chances against the Las Vegas Raiders, where the majority of the crowd was Browns fans travel. They will travel this Sunday. You'll see some brown and orange. They're a very, very vibrant, passionate fan base. They had three chances to win the game, to go down the field and win the game down 4 points in the last 7 minutes of the game. And he couldn't come through. He could not come through. They couldn't come through. And we know that this is a quarterback league. He's lost his feel. He's lost his touch. He's lost his confidence. He can't throw the deep ball consistently. At least he hasn't shown me he can throw the deep ball consistently. And I don't think he's shown anybody that he could throw that consistently anymore. It's almost like his arm slot is broken and is not the same. So he's really lost the feel for the game. And he can't sense when a pocket is collapsing all the time. And look, to be fair, the Browns have been missing over half their starting offensive line for almost the entire season. They brought Jed Wills back. He got hurt right away. You know, you have more than half your offensive line out, and you're relying on rookies and guys who are out of position playing on the offensive line. The offensive line has been horrendous. I think it's the worst in the National Football League. Washington should bring a pass rush on Sunday and should be able to get to Watson. So, like, he can't handle pressure. But you know, some people are like, well, put Tom Brady back there. He couldn't handle it with this offensive line. Again, guys, you know this. You figure out ways to overcome problems. Right now for Deshaun Watson, he needs everything to be perfect to function. That's not a franchise quarterback. And this is a guy, I think, who is broken mentally. Off of all of the allegations, off of all of the events of the past year. And I think everybody thought he would just recapture his level of play. This guy was the center of the sports world for several months for things that are pretty dark and pretty bad. And I think that completely put him out of whack. And I don't think he'll ever be the same quarterback. You'll see on Sunday, He just lacks feel in certain situations. Third and 12, and he just looks to check down to a running back. If you're a franchise quarterback in this league, third down's the money down. Mm-hmm. You're trying to get near the markers. And if you've got fourth and one, you're going to go for it.
John, talk about the defense, though, because as bad as Watson has been overall, the defense still, has anybody scored 20 points against them?
The Cowboys did.
Last 3 weeks, no.
But, my producer says Myles Garrett's playing on one leg, and yet he still had, a couple sacks, 7 pressures last week, something like that. What can the Commanders expect in terms of their defense?
It's a very good unit, and Myles Garrett is a machine. And so early in the game, Washington has got to be ready for him because he is a game wrecker. He can get an early strip sack. He can make an early play. So you do have to be aware of him. I mean, he can change the game in one play. The secondary is okay. They were playing cushion coverage last week. They were afraid of getting beat with the deep ball. I don't think Jaden Daniels is going to have a ton of trouble as long as he's getting rid of the ball quickly. But make no mistake about it, this is one of the best defenses Daniels will meet all season. I do think that the Browns' defense poses problems. Jim Schwartz is very aggressive. He will bring blitzes. He will send the house on a third down where you don't see you don't see somebody coming, and he will try to pull that off. But they're also, one of their flaws is they give up the big play. They do give up a big play, and they can be susceptible to that. And I do think you can run on them. I actually think one of the keys to the game on Sunday is for Washington to, as good as they've been, and they've been absolutely outstanding, don't totally abandon the run game because you've got this passing game so in sync. The Browns can be run on. They can be. Their pass defense is good and can be great if they're getting some pressure with Garrett and with the interior of that defensive line. So, I think that the biggest thing against Cleveland is just avoid third and long. Because I will say, they're a very good team. If you've got third and 8 or more, that defense gets off the field. If you've got third and 4 or less, it's self-explanatory. But they are beatable. Gardner Minshew was able to drive the Raiders down the field a couple of times. I will say this, guys. The past 2 games, the Browns defense has only allowed 1 touchdown in the second half, and that's it. That's all on the points side, just a score. So Cleveland's defense has been very good in the second half the last 2 weeks. They have given the offense a shot. We'll see if that changes here. Here's where I worry about the Browns defense. They know their offense isn't very good. And you just wonder if that starts to mentally affect them as the season wears on.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good point there. We usually have you on to talk college hoops, and it's amazing the college hoop season starts in a month. November 4th is opening night. So we're a month away from that. But the big story yesterday in college hoops was Gonzaga. They're going to jump from the WCC to the Pac-12, not for a couple of years, but just give us your thoughts on that.
Well, I think for them to be in the same league as San Diego State is big, and Colorado State as well, Boise State. So for me, I do think it's a positive move for them. In the West Coast Conference, they're just not getting tested enough. So they need to make a move like this. Honestly, my biggest takeaway right off the bat, guys, was you credit Oregon State and Washington State, right? They looked left for dead. They got to stay in the house. They kept some money, right? They were able to keep that league's money in the units that they accumulated in the NCAA tournament. And, I think here's how I would sum it up. The new look Mountain West, 6 bids to the NCAA tournament. The Pac-12 hadn't had 6 bids to the NCAA tournament in 8 years. So it's when you look at the collection of teams now, in terms of making the NCAA tournament, the old Pac-12 guys, as much as it had all that branding and tradition, we all know it. One of the reasons why they broke up was they weren't pulling their weight enough. Like yes, was there TV? And yes, was there money? And of course, and realignment costs things. But if your league is great and you're accomplishing national championship success, the late great and God love him, Bill Walton, always said conference of champions, and Bill's the best, and we miss him. we'll miss him this college basketball season. But in their last years, the Pac-12 wasn't delivering those championships. For me, I think for Gonzaga, they needed to make this move, had to get it done. They need to bring St. Mary's. You know, I think that if I'm Gonzaga, I'm calling St. Mary's and I'm saying, you've been a top 20, top 25 program in college basketball. Join us and let's become the best West Coast league in the country. And what Gonzaga brings this new look Pac-12 is they give that league an honest chance to win a national championship. Gonzaga will be loaded up again this year. I think that Ryan Nemhard, their point guard, is a stud, and they've got some real returning pieces that make Mark Few's team a top 5 to 10 team in college basketball. It's big for the Zags. I mean, people forget they've been to two national championship games in the last decade, and they haven't been able to win those. It's a matter of time. Mark Few's going to get one.
Real quick, your thoughts on the passing of Dikembe Mutombo?
Heartbreaking, you know, heartbreaking, and a gut punch to the basketball community. I had only had limited encounters with Dikembe. I can tell you right now that he could not have been kinder. And covering his son, Ryan had a heart of gold and has a heart of gold. And everybody that I've ever talked to that had any sort of encounter with Dikembe Mutombo immediately smiled about him. Dikembe cared about people. He put people first. He is a huge reason why the NBA grew their game. You know, why they were able to go to Congo and go to Africa and program basketball without borders. You have to have your stars be willing to do these things for these types of programs to take off. And Dikembe Mutombo was always willing to be a humanitarian. And I think that's who he is more than anything in this world. And that's saying something because he's an unbelievable basketball player and is one of the best defensive players in the history of the sport. We will miss him. And if I were the Georgetown Hoyas, I know that they'll be doing something to honor Dikembe Mutombo, but I would do a Dikembe Mutombo day, and I'd be wearing something on my jerseys this year for Dikembe, and I'm sure that they'll do something of that nature because Dikembe Mutombo is one of the greatest Hoyas ever, and in the NBA, he's one of the greatest defensive players ever and an awesome first-class man.
Right, no doubt.
Yep.
All right, thank you, John. Appreciate it, buddy.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Thank you, fellas. Always great to talk with you. And early congrats on your win Sunday.
I'll take
that.
It.
Yeah, we'll take that. Absolutely.
I'll take it. All right. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope he's right.
John Fanta.
He's in the same spot as Valdez is with the O's right now, with his Cleveland Browns. Same spot.
I mean, he said they're going to win 5 games this year. They won 11 last year.
Right. Wow.
Yep.
That's a -6.
That's not great.
I'm starting to get nervous now. I've been so confident. Now I'm getting nervous. He was hyping up Miles
Garrett. Now you're a little shook.
I'm a little bit nervous.
You said you were nervous on Monday.
Well, yeah.
Because you don't like being
you're
the
just not. Yeah, you're not really used to expected to win.
And when are you not nervous?
It's been a long
Let's
time.
Let's be honest.
It's been a long time.
Maybe just when you expect to lose and you suck.
Yeah.
That's when you're not nervous.
Man, I have a life riddled with anxiety kicks. Yeah. Who doesn't?
All right, got to take a break. Remember, it's Game Show Wednesday. Give you a chance to win some Metallica tickets coming up in an hour. Also, we'll be joined by Daniel Kelly, former Jets scout. He'll give us his take on what he's seen from the quarterbacks so far, the rookie quarterbacks this season.